Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso, recording at our studio here in East County. Today we open our show with a report on heat records shattered around the world this month as the effects of climate change accelerate. Here at home, this week's storms brought lightning strikes and extreme heat, with more storms, soaring temperatures, and possible flash flooding coming up. We'll tell you where to get sandbags at local fire stations so you can be prepared. And if you're thinking of cooling off by heading to the beach, be sure to listen up first about some great white shark sightings in San Diego's coastal waters. On our arts and music spotlight, we'll have the lineup of performers scheduled for the opening season at the Magnolia Center, formerly known as the East County Performing Arts Center, where the curtain will rise this September for the first time in over 10 years. The U.S. Marines have asked Congressman Duncan Hunter, a Marine combat veteran, to halt using its logo and slogan on his campaign materials, and we'll have details. On People Power, hear about two San Diego Sheriff's deputies who just received a national award for saving the life of a cross-country skier who fell into an iced over lake in San Diego's mountains last winter. The sheriff has issued a warning about a dangerous blue pill called M30. That's a phony OxyContin pain pill that's caused 4 overdose deaths in just 24 hours. Find out what you need to know about this dangerous product on today's show. Then we'll have a report on some new findings about the immigrant-owned businesses helping fuel California's economy. Now, if you're concerned about gerrymandering, the California Redistricting Commission is looking for some volunteers, and they especially need more women and Latino members. Find out how to apply on today's show. The East County Leadership Council is hosting a forum on regional issues this Saturday afternoon in El Cajon, and we'll have the details. A settlement has been reached over an Equifax security breach of consumers' private information, and you might be entitled to compensation. Find out how to apply for your share of the settlement, or learn if your security was compromised later on today. Then on Destination East County, we'll have some delicious events coming up, including the Jamul Premier Wine Festival, A Taste of Julian, the Ramona Country Fair, Pine Valley Days, the Heart of Mount Helix, and many more. From Public News Service, we'll have top national news stories, including the federal government's reinstatement of the death penalty, a preview of the July 30th and 31st Democratic presidential primary debates, and the anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Hear why the federal government's lifting of a ban on a controversial pesticide has bee owners concerned about the health of their hives on our Green Scene report. We also have a warning for dog owners about pet deaths linked to xylitol. That's an artificial sweetener used in many foods as well as products such as toothpaste. On Crime Beat, hear about the convictions of two men for the murder of Zusha Brown Jr. and another man in shootings that occurred 3 years apart in La Mesa. And finally, we'll have some emergency preparedness tips for you and your family for everything from earthquakes to firestorms. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Gerald Stevenson with the Green Scene Report. Around the world, on virtually every continent, all-time heat records were shattered in July, CNN reports. In northern Siberia, along the Arctic Circle, the temperature hit 90 degrees on July 5th, 40 degrees above normal for the usually frigid region. In Canada's Quebec province, the heat caused at least 54 deaths, with temperatures ranging nearly 98 degrees in the Montreal area. Africa recorded the continent's hottest temperature ever reliably measured, more than 124 degrees in Algeria. In Europe, a heat wave reached triple digits in France and in Scotland. Intense heat caused some roadways to melt, the BBC reported. Here in Southern California, UCLA recorded its highest temperature ever at 111 degrees on July 6th, and across the U.S., over 400 locations had record highs broken last week alone, with the heat wave causing at least 6 deaths. New York canceled a major marathon. Washington, D.C. declared a heat emergency. And in Baltimore, a police department with a sense of humor posted on social media asking criminals to please refrain from committing crimes until the heat wave was over, quipping, "Conducting criminal activity in this extreme heat is next-level henchman status and also very dangerous." These scorching records in July follow the hottest June recorded in the 200 years that humans have been keeping track of temperatures, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration reports. 50 years ago, extreme heat waves were rare, the New York Times reports. But scientists warn that climate change is what's fueling more and more extreme heat waves, just as the scientists predicted. So how much worse will it get? Climate Central, an organization of leading scientists and journalists, has been compiling data and conducting scientific research. According to a new interactive model created by Climate Central, the city of San Diego currently has fewer than 5 days a year with temperatures above 90 degrees. But by the year 2050, they predict a dozen such days, and by the year 2100, around 30 days a year will exceed 90 degrees in America's finest city. If that sounds hot, be glad you're not in Phoenix, where by 2021, the desert city is expected to have 60 days a year with sweltering temperatures over 115 degrees. Extreme heat carries severe costs, including loss of lives due to heat stroke, damage to infrastructure, increased utility bills, melting of polar ice caps, which in turn brings rising sea levels, and flooding to coastal communities, relocation of some coastal populations, and increased drought, reducing food supplies, and raising food prices.
This is Miriam Raftery with the Weekend Weather Report. Thunderstorms have been dousing East County's mountain and rural areas this past week, producing some dramatic downpours and striking images. San Diego County had 145 lightning strikes during one 24-hour period ending last Wednesday evening. Even the usually parched desert community of Borrego Springs logged nearly a quarter of an inch in just 10 minutes. Isolated thunderstorms are forecast to continue in the mountain and deserts through Friday night, and this weekend, increasing heat will raise temperatures over 110 degrees in San Diego's desert areas Saturday and Sunday. Monsoon moisture is forecast to return early next week and continue through midweek, so keep your umbrellas handy. And if you hear thunder or see lightning, be sure to go inside or into a vehicle and stay there for at least 30 minutes after the thunder stops, since lightning can strike up to 10 miles away, even if there are blue skies overhead. Also stay out of swimming pools or other water sources whenever thunder roars. With summer storms moving across our region, it's a good time to stock up on free sandbags. The County of San Diego and CAL FIRE are providing free sand and bags to residents in unincorporated areas. Rain can cause flooding and erosion, especially in areas that aren't covered by landscaping. That includes areas covered by concrete and those laid bare by drought or fire. Rain runoff can sweep topsoil, mud, plant material, and debris off the land and downstream, where it can damage homes and clog culverts and storm drains, also damaging roadways. Sandbags, and sand to fill them with, are available for unincorporated residents at these fire stations. Be sure to bring a shovel to fill the bags and call ahead to double-check on availability, since some may have limited supply. The stations with sand and bags are Bonita Sunnyside, Boulevard, Deleuze, Fallbrook, Julian, Lakeside, Ramona, Rincon, Valley Center, and Warner Springs. You can also get bags only, but you'll need your own sand, at many other stations. And you can find information about how to protect yourself and your property from flooding at ReadySanDiego.org on their flooding page. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
With temperatures sweltering, if you were thinking of going to the beach to cool off, you might want to reconsider. During 3 of the last 4 days, a 6-foot shark, believed to be a juvenile great white shark, has been spotted off the coastline of San Diego County between Encinitas and Del Mar. The cities have posted warnings advising beachgoers to use caution when swimming, and lifeguards say they are on heightened awareness and closely monitoring for shark activity. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Well, Welcome to East County Magazine's Arts and Music Spotlight.
This is Gerald Stevenson with an arts and music report. After being closed for more than a decade, the East County Performing Arts Center is finally ready to reopen after extensive remodeling. It will have a new name, the Magnolia Performing Arts Center, and be managed by Live Nation, a major national concert promoter. The theater seats over 1,200 people and now has a VIP balcony, an outdoor plaza bazaar for pre- and post-show dining, plus new state-of-the-art sound, lighting, and projection systems. Tickets have just gone on sale for the season, which opens September 13th and includes popular rock and jazz artists, comedians, a cooking show, and more. The lineup includes a cabaret show featuring Bravo TV's Real Housewife of New York City turned cabaret queen, Luann de Lesseps, known as Countess Luann. Jazz artist Al DiMeola's past, present, and future performance feature music of DiMeola, Piazzolla, and the Beatles. The Rock and Roll Dream Tour, featuring hologram performances of late legendary rock stars Roy Orbison and Buddy Holly with a backup band. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Dave Mason, famed for his Feelin' Alright song, along with English singer-songwriter Richie Furay. Grammy Award-winning pianist and singer-songwriter Bruce Hornsby and the Noisemakers, honored for works ranging from pop to bluegrass. Patti LaBelle, lead singer of the hit 60s vocal group Patti LaBelle and the Bluebells, MasterChef Junior Live, featuring cooking competitions, Argentine composer and singer Leo Dan, the progressive metal band Dream Theater, four-time Grammy Award winner Pat Benatar, and Neil Giraldo, English pop singer Engelbert Humperdinck, winner of 4 Grammys and a Golden Globe Award in his Angel on My Shoulder tour. Ramon Ayala y Sus Bravos del Norte, a Mexican musical group. Stasi Schroeder in Straight Up with Stasi Live. PJ Masks, Save the Day Live, a show for kids and family featuring stars of the animated TV show. Art Garfunkel, co-star of the family Simon and Garfunkel folk music duo. Comedian Kathleen Madigan, who has appeared on late-night comedy TV programs and headline USO shows to entertain our troops. And Dennis DeYoung, founding member of the rock band Styx. You can get tickets to these shows at MagnoliaSanDiego.com and follow the Magnolia SD on Twitter for updates on more shows coming to the former East County Performing Arts Center in Elk Home, now revitalized under its new name, the Magnolia.
The U.S. Marine Corps has sent a letter ordering Republican Congressman Duncan Hunter to stop using the official Marines emblem and slogan on his campaign materials. The demand comes after Hunter sent a misleading and Islamophobic mailer to smear his Democratic opponent, Omar Campanajar. The mailer has a photo of a masked terrorist on one side and photos of Campanajar next to images of Islamic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. The mailer calls all three radical and claimed that they, quote, want you to forget their anti-Semitism or family terrorist ties. Hunter's mailer further states, but as a Marine, I'll never forget the 1983 Beirut bombings and the 1972 Olympic murders. Campanajar was born at Grossmont Hospital in La Mesa and raised locally by his Catholic Hispanic mother. His Palestinian grandfather, who died before he was born, has been linked as a possible participant in the 1972 Munich attack on Israeli athletes. But Campanajar has denounced terrorism and received endorsements of Jewish rabbis for his stances toward Israel. He says the congressman's lies don't affect the position of the United States Marine Corps any more than his conduct reflects the character of our district. We deserve better. Hunter served in the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, attaining the rank of major before his election to Congress in 2008. He is campaigning for re-election despite a federal trial on 60 corruption charges slated to begin in September. Hunter is accused of embezzling $250,000 from his campaign donations and spending the money on personal expenditures ranging from mistresses to family vacations, as well as filing falsified reports to the Federal Elections Commission to cover up his crimes. His wife, Margaret, pleaded guilty to one count and is cooperating with prosecutors in the case against her husband. Federal law prohibits the Marine's trademark seal and emblem from being used in any political activities. NBC reports that a Hunter spokesman says the campaign immediately complied with the request to remove the Marine's logo and slogan and is taking all appropriate measures to ensure this matter is addressed appropriately and thoroughly. Reporting for East County Magazine, this is John Fisteer.
This is East County Magazine's People Power, profiling local people making a positive difference in our community and our world.
They help keep San Diego County safe from high above ground. Now two deputies with the Sheriff's ASTREA, or Astrea, helicopter unit have been honored with the National Award for a challenging technical rescue of a cross-country skier near Pine Valley earlier this year. Deputy Pilot Bill Leniewicz and Tactical Flight Officer Michael Davis received the prestigious Captain Gus Crawford Memorial Aircrew of the Year Award during a ceremony at the Airborne Public Safety Association Conference in Omaha, Nebraska on July 19th. They were chosen from a large number of other award submissions from air support units across the United States. On February 24th, Leniewicz and Davis were flying in the Astrea 1 helicopter when they were dispatched to a call reporting a cross-country skier in distress at Big Laguna Lake. When they arrived, they found the victim had fallen through the frozen lake and was struggling to stay afloat. They wasted no time getting the man to safety. While hovering over the skier, their helicopter dragged a flotation device across the ice and into the victim's hands. Once he grabbed it, the skier was gently pulled across the ice to the shore, where onlookers helped remove his cold, wet clothing and replaced it with some of their own. The skier later said that if the sheriff's helicopter had not arrived when it did, he would not have had the strength to stay afloat or hold on to the rescue device. The skier was flown to the hospital, treated for severe hypothermia, and made a full recovery. It was the first time Leniewicz and Davis had performed an ice water rescue. They both said the rescue was probably the greatest day of their law enforcement careers. Sheriff Bill Gore congratulates the Astrea pilot and flight officer for their incredible honor and awarded for their life-saving actions and bravery. Astrea stands for Aerial Support to Regional Enforcement Agencies. The Sheriff's Astrea unit provides law enforcement, search and rescue, fire suppression, and emergency service air support to public safety agencies throughout San Diego County. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Brianna Gomez.
This is Miriam Raftery with an important health alert. Four overdose deaths have occurred in the last 24 hours in Lakeside, Santee, Poway, and Valley Center due to a counterfeit oxycodone drug known as M30. The illicit blue pills contain fentanyl, so potent that a speck the size of a salt grain can kill you, or even just touching it can be fatal. Users may swallow the pills or crush and smoke them. San Diego Sheriff's Narcotics and Gang Division responded to the four overdose deaths, and detectives are now working with first responders to find out if they've received any more overdose calls. Anybody with information on this illegal drug operation is asked to call the anonymous Crime Stoppers tip line at 888-580-8477 or the Sheriff's Department at 858-565-5200. Any pill purchased without a prescription or that's not sold in a pharmacy should be considered dangerous, the sheriff says. Now, if you or somebody you know is struggling with a drug or alcohol addiction, you can call the County Crisis Hotline at 888-724-7240. You can take any unused and unwanted medications to any sheriff's prescription drug drop box location in the county. And for more information on that, you can visit sdsheriff.net.
Every year, thousands of people immigrate to the United States in hopes of achieving the American dream. Our country has long been called a nation of immigrants, but the Trump administration is now working to squash that flow, and the president has frequently denigrated immigrants in his statements. However, immigrants actually help fuel America's economic engine. FundRocket, a company that helps match businesses to funding sources, has analyzed data from the Census Bureau's American Community Survey and analyzed entrepreneurship among immigrants in the United States. They found that naturalized citizens who were once immigrants are twice as likely to own their own businesses as people who were born here. 24% of business owners in California are naturalized citizens, more than any other state. Nationwide, more than 1 in 10 businesses are owned by naturalized citizens. Each of these provides jobs and pays taxes in the U.S. Treasury and to state governments. Naturalized citizens founded many of the nation's most powerful businesses. Google, Yahoo, and eBay owe their existence to entrepreneurs born abroad. Still, more titans of industry hail from families from other countries. Steve Jobs and Jeff Bezos' fathers came from Syria and Cuba, respectively. 44 of the country's Fortune 100 companies were founded by immigrants or their children, a stunning testament to those who bring their talents, hopes, and dreams to America's shores. This wouldn't have happened if America's door had been shut to these companies' founders or their parents. Businesses owned by immigrants increased by over 70% between 2000 and 2017. But now, President Trump has issued an executive order banning any asylum seekers at the international border who traveled through Mexico from a different country. That's being challenged in court, but if not overturned, it would bar entry to the vast majority of people currently fleeing violence or oppression from coming to America. That raises a key question. Who will be starting up the businesses of tomorrow to help drive economic growth and prosperity in America and here in California? Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Brianna Gomez.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from our region.
If you're concerned about political gerrymandering, you can do your part to assure fair elections by applying for one of the 14 seats open on California's 2020 Citizens Redistricting Commission. Every 10 years after the federal census, states must redraw the lines for congressional and state districts. Starting in 2010, because of a state ballot measure, this duty was shifted from the California legislature to an independent citizens commission composed of 5 Democrats, 5 Republicans, and 4 who are members of neither major party. The process is under the supervision of the state auditor. The deadline to apply is August 9th. So far, over 5,500 Californians have sent in applications. State Auditor Elaine M. Howell says these applications are making a choice to ensure their community has a voice in the next redistricting process. She adds, "We encourage all Californians to apply for this once-in-a-decade opportunity and be part of the team that will be drawing new political districts that define where our congressional and state representatives come from." Applications to serve can be made online at shapecaliforniasfuture.auditor.ca.gov or visit Shape California's Future on Facebook. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Fistier.
The East County Leadership Council will host its second annual Regional Issues Forum this Saturday on July 27th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the El Cajon Library. The speakers include El Cajon Councilman Gary Kendrick, La Mesa Councilman Colin Parent, and Helix Water Board member Mark Grasick. Dana Quitner, board member and past president of the East County Economic Development Council, will moderate the forum. The public is invited to attend the forum, where issues to be discussed include: how do we make East County more affordable for people who live here? How do we achieve a balance of housing and jobs in our region? And how do we best protect our environment and enhance our quality of life? Refreshments will be served, and you can RSVP to georgegastil@gmail.com. That's George, G-A-S-T-I-L, @gmail.com. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
California Attorney General Javier Becerra has announced a nationwide settlement against Equifax, resolving allegations that the credit reporting agency improperly exposed the personal information of 147 million consumers, including 15 million Californians, after a massive data breach in 2017. The breach occurred after Equifax failed to apply a critical software fix and implement security measures that would have protected and encrypted consumers' data. Data exposed by the breach included names, social security numbers, birth dates, addresses, and in some instances, driver's license numbers. Equifax did not disclose the breach, which lasted from mid-May through July 2017 until September 2017. The settlement requires Equifax to pay up to $425 million into a restitution fund for affected consumers, pay another $175 million to states in penalties, including $18 million to California. If you were affected by the data breach, or if you're not sure if your data was compromised, you can get more information about the $425 million restitution fund by going to EquifaxBreachSettlement.com or calling the settlement administrator at 1-833-759-2982. Eligible consumers may receive cash reimbursement for time or money spent trying to avoid or recover from fraud or identity theft because of the breach. You may also be able to recover limited reimbursement for payments for Equifax credit monitoring or identity theft protection subscriptions. Eligible consumers may also receive free credit monitoring for up to 10 years, or alternatively, a cash payment for buying a different credit monitoring service. Minors who are affected can receive up to 18 years of free credit monitoring services. Attorney General Becerra encourages everyone eligible for the relief to apply, noting that the data breach could impact some consumers for the rest of their lives. He adds, quote, "On top of holding Equifax accountable for one of the most devastating data breaches to face our nation, we have now recovered hundreds of millions of dollars to help our families who fell victim. Equifax, one of only three major credit reporting agencies, had a responsibility to secure and protect Americans' data. Instead, it breached public trust," the Attorney General says. This settlement is a result of a collaborative effort by a multi-state coalition led by Attorney General Becerra. The settlement is related to settlements just announced by the Federal Trade Commission, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and private litigants as part of a class action lawsuit. The money paid by Equifax to California and other states will be used for continuing oversight and enforcement of consumer protection laws. As part of the injunctive terms of the settlement, Equifax also agrees to create a process to help people with claims of identity theft, reduce use and storage of social security numbers, not profit off data collected in connection with the breach or settlement, comply with requirements to safeguard consumer personal information, and employ a chief information security officer and extra staff to oversee information security. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Brianna Gomez.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Rebecca Williamson
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This week's Destination East County features some late July and hot August nights events, including Pine Valley Days, A Sip of Julian, the Hamul Wine Days Sting Festival, Herman's Hermits at Saquon, a concert at Santee Lakes, Julian's Natural Wonder Fest, the Ramona Country Fair, the Julian Star Fest, the Heart of Mount Helix Art and Wine Festival, a twilight walk at Mission Trails Regional Park, and the Barona Powwow.
There are also some all-summer-long events, including outdoor concerts, movies in parks across our region, classic car shows, and dive-in movies.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
The Mountain Empire Men's Club will present Pine Valley Days, July 26th and 27th. The two-day festival begins with a deep pit barbecue from 5 to 9 p.m. on Friday night and live music by barbed wire from 6 to 10 p.m. On Saturday, there's breakfast at the clubhouse at 7 a.m., followed by the Pine Valley Days Parade at 9 a.m. along Old Highway 80 from the Pine Valley Library to the middle school. Next up, there's a full day of activities in Pine Valley Park, including children's activities, arts and crafts, vendors, live music, food, and a horseshoe tournament. For more information, visit pinevalleydays.com.
A Sip of Julian on July 27th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. will feature 10 tasting rooms, offering samples of beer, wine, hard cider, and craft cocktails with small food pairings. Tickets are available at the Julian Town Hall on the day of the event. Proceeds will be used to fund the annual Julian Country Christmas and Tree Lighting Ceremony.
DNS Farms, home to Granite Lion Cellars in Hamul, will host the Hamul Wine Tasting Festival to benefit St. Pius X Catholic Church's Parish Improvement Fund on Saturday, July 27th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. The event will feature at least 10 different local wineries and breweries, plus live entertainment and a silent auction. The event is open to ages 21 and up. Tickets can be purchased at
stpiusx.hamul.com. That's stpiusxhamul.com.
The July 27th concert at the Lakes in Santee will feature a whole lot of rock and roll and a little bit of country, according to organizers. This year's lineup of the event at Santee Lakes will feature Shannon Ray and 100 Proof, Tom Petty and the Heart Shakers, and DSB. The concert is open to those age 14 and up. Lawn and table tickets are available at concertatthelakes.com.
Julian Natural Wonderfest is an event to celebrate nature by day and night. This event will be held on Saturday, April 3rd, from 4 to 11 p.m. at Jess Martin Park in Julian. A free shuttle will be offered from the heart of historic Julian to the park for this event for all ages. Activities will include wildlife encounters, music, art, and a star party to view the Milky Way. For more information, you can visit naturalwonderfest.com.
The Ramona Country Fair takes place August 1st through 4th at the Ramona Outdoor Community Center. Fairgoers can explore the Gateway to Adventure, which features outdoor adventure zones, rock climbing, amusement rides, contests, animals, attractions, vendors, western shows, medieval demonstrations, a wine festival, and more. The Ramona Country Fair is presented by the Ramona Chamber of Commerce. For more information, you can visit ramonachamber.com.
The Julian Starfest will be held August 1st through the 4th at Mangini Winery in Julian. On Saturday night, August 3rd, members of the San Diego Astronomy Association will have telescopes set up for viewing from dusk to 10:30 p.m. For more information, visit julianstarfest.com.
The legendary 60s British rock band Herman's Hermits, with its original lead singer Peter Noon, will be live in concert at Saquon on August 3rd, with shows at 5 p.m. and again at 8 p.m. They stormed the American pop charts 22 times with smash hits such as Can't You Hear My Heartbeat, There's a Kind of Hush, and I'm Henry VIII, I Am. The boys from Manchester ultimately sold over 80 million records, including 7 gold albums, inspiring fans around the world. Tickets to the concert are available at saquan.com/events. And Saquan is spelled S-Y-C-U-A-N.
You're invited to Party for a Purpose at the Heart of Mount Helix Wine, Food, and Art Festival to benefit the Mount Helix Park Foundation on August 10th from 5 to 10 p.m. Against the backdrop of the setting sun at the historic Mount Helix Park and Amphitheater, known for its 360-degree views, guests will enjoy samples from local restaurants and wineries, plus signature cocktails, as well as live music, musical vignettes, a raffle and silent auction, and dancing under the stars to the Good Mojo Band. For tickets, visit mounthelixpark.org, with Mount spelled M-T.
You're invited to join trail guides at Mission Trails Regional Park in a twilight walk on August 17th from 7 to 9 p.m. You'll learn about changes that occur at dusk as the sun goes down. Meet at the parking lot at the corner of Bushy Hill Drive and Father Sarah Trail. That's across from the Kumeyaw Lake Campground. Bring a flashlight and an extra layer of clothes, since it often cools down after the sun goes down. For more information, you can visit Mission Trails Regional Park's website at mtrp.org.
The 49th annual Barona Powwow takes place Friday, August 30th through Sunday, September 1st at the Barona Sports Complex on the Barona Indian Reservation. The public is welcome to come and watch native dancers and drummers from across the nation compete at the powwow, where you can also find craft vendors and food such as tacos made with Native American fry bread. For details, visit barona-nsn.gov.
Now for some all-summer-long events.
The Salvation Army Joan Crock Community Center, just one block west of La Mesa, invites you to a series of dive-in movies that you can watch in the swimming pool. The last movie of the summer is How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, on August 7th at 7 p.m.
El Cajon's popular movies in the park run all summer long at parks across the city. Guests can enjoy additional fun activities before the start of each movie at nightfall. For a full list of shows all summer long, you can visit elcajonrec.org.
Lemon Grove Summer Concert Series continues through August 22nd, each Thursday evening from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Berry Street Park. Check the City of Lemon Grove's website calendar for a full schedule.
El Cajon's Dinner and a Concert Series is held every Friday night at Prescott Promenade in downtown El Cajon from 6 to 8 p.m. Shows will continue all summer long. You can bring a picnic dinner or dine early at one of the many restaurants nearby before rocking out at the outdoor concert. For full details and a schedule, you can visit downtownelcajon.com.
Santee's Summer Concert Series is being held from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Town Center Community Park East on Thursday nights all summer long through August 22nd. The City of Santee has the full lineup of artists on its website.
The City of La Mesa's Sundays at 6 Concert Series continues at Harry Griffith Park in the Outdoor Amphitheater on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., and the last one of the season will be on July 28th. Find more information on the City of La Mesa's website.
The La Mesa Village Association rolls out its La Mesa Classic Car Show each Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m. through August 29th. This event features pre-1974 cars, trucks, and vans. The event will feature DJs and live bands located at 3rd and La Mesa Boulevard, and an award giveaway at each event honoring the night's best cars. Find full details at lamesavillageassociation.org.
El Cajon's Classic Cruise Nights is celebrating its centennial season. You can view classic cars every Wednesday from 5 to 8 p.m. along Main Street in the heart of downtown El Cajon. For their full schedule of events, you can visit downtownelcajon.com.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more in the calendar and events section at our website, eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or you'd like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website, or our Destination East County show here on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back soon with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around East County!
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, July the 26th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. Bill Barr and the Trump administration announced plans to reinstate the federal death penalty. Also on our Friday rundown, giving foster kids a college boost. Plus, the Americans with Disabilities Act marks 29 years. Now our top story, Attorney General Bill Barr announced plans to reinstate the federal death penalty in the U.S. before the end of this year. Four of the five inmates Trump's Justice Department plans to execute in the coming months are eligible for the federal death penalty because of provisions in the anti-crime bill backed by 2020 Democratic presidential frontrunner Joe Biden. NBC News reports the Justice Department's announcement Thursday that it would resume capital punishment came just 2 days after Biden reversed course when he proposed a termination of the federal death penalty. Meantime, a new law gives young people in the state of Pennsylvania foster care system a real chance to get a college education.
Kids in foster care face obstacles to college that other students may not, especially as they age out of the system and begin living independently. But now, under the Fostering Independence Through Education Act, those with a high school diploma or GED can get a waiver on tuition and fees at any public or private college or university in the state. According to Maura McInerney with the Education Law Center, Pennsylvania now ranks second in the nation for college debt.
This new law will ensure that children who are in foster care can afford to attend college, many of whom are on their own, and therefore don't have the support and the safety net that other students would have while in college.
The waivers are available to students who were in foster care at age 16 or older and can be used for 5 years up to age 26. The program will go into effect in the 2020 fall semester. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
To remain eligible, those students will need to maintain satisfactory academic progress in their college classes. And looking ahead to next week when Democrats face off in Detroit for the second presidential debate, conservation groups would like to hear from them.
In a lead-up to the debates, a coalition of groups has released a 5-point platform that puts water at the top of the agenda for the 20 candidates. Laura Rubin with the Healing Our Waters Great Lakes Coalition says the action plan would include a multi-billion-dollar investment to fix drinking water and wastewater infrastructure.
Whether it's
toxic water or sewage in our water or flooding, you can't come and talk about economies and about healthcare without realizing that the underlying fact has to do with just access to clean drinking water.
The coalition is calling on candidates to support $475 million for the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, a plan the Trump administration has tried trimming or eliminating for the last 3 years. I'm Roz Brown.
As with the first Democratic debate, 10 candidates will share their views with a national television audience on July 30th, another 10 the following night, July 31st. Anti-hunger groups pushing back against a Trump administration proposal that would kick more than 3 million people off of food stamps. Here's Eric Tegetoff.
Under the current rule, qualified recipients of temporary assistance for needy families are automatically enrolled in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. Oregon and 42 other states use the rule to streamline the process for receiving food benefits. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue sees it as a loophole and says eliminating it would save $2.5 billion. But Jeff Kleen with Oregon Food Bank says the government is neglecting its role to help people meet their basic needs.
It's extremely frustrating to see government action that would actually increase hunger. It is the government's role to reduce hunger, not increase it.
The Oregon Department of Human Services still is calculating how many people in the state could be affected by a rule change. The Oregonian reports that if the state is affected to the same degree as the rest of the country, nearly 60,000 people would lose assistance.
That public comment period on the proposal opened until September the 23rd. And finally, our Mary Sherman reports legislation that has changed the lives of millions of Americans marks its 29th anniversary today.
The Americans with Disabilities Act was signed into law on June 26, 1990, and is considered the most significant piece of civil rights legislation since the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Peter Berg with the Great Lakes ADA Center in Chicago explains in 2008 the bill was amended to clarify the definition of disability and provide broad protection from discrimination. And he notes, as the world changes, the law needs continued updating.
Within the last 5-8 years, the Department of Justice revised its regulations covering state and local governments and private businesses, and also issued updated accessibility standards. It went a long way in attempting to unify the ADA standards with other industry standards.
The ADA aims to ensure that people with physical or mental disabilities have the same rights and opportunities as others in all areas of public life, including employment, education, and transportation. While the law has transformed accommodations for many with disabilities, some advocates contend the country must be committed to fulfilling the full promise of the ADA by working to create a more inclusive society.
Just recently, two retail organizations asked the U.S. Supreme Court to take a case involving a blind customer who sued Domino's Pizza because its website and mobile app were not accessible to people using screen reading software. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for wrapping up your week with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and you will find us online at publicnewsservice.org.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Gerald Stevenson with a Green Scene Report. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has approved the broad use of the insecticide sulfoxaflor for use on numerous crops, including corn, soybeans, citrus, strawberries, pineapples, and pumpkins. The decision has alarmed beekeepers and environmental organizations, since the EPA itself has deemed sulfoxaflor highly toxic to bees. Greg Laurie, an attorney for Earth Justice, calls the decision reckless at a time when honeybees and other pollinators are dying in record numbers. For the year ending in April, beekeepers lost nearly 41% of the bee colonies, according to the Bee Informed Partnership, a nonprofit that studies bee populations nationwide through the University of Maryland. The pesticide was first approved in the U.S. in 2013, but after a lawsuit by beekeepers and environmental advocates, a federal court in 2015 blocked the approval, finding the agency lacked adequate safety data regarding bees. A year later, the EPA approved use of sulfoxaflor only on crops that don't attract bees, but also allowed for emergency waivers due to a lack of other viable options. Exemptions have been granted in over a dozen cases so far this year. Alexandra Dunn, head of the EPA office that oversees pesticides, says the decision to expand the use of sulfoxaflor to even more crops will provide long-term certainty for U.S. growers and help avoid potentially significant economic losses at a time when farmers have already suffered crop losses due to wildfires, hurricanes, and drought. The EPA is basing its decision on industry studies that claim sulfoxaflor dissipates faster after use than other commonly used pesticides, which it claims makes sulfoxaflor less deadly to wildlife than the alternatives. The new regulations do prohibit use during windy conditions, and with fruit trees, the poison can only be applied after the flowers have bloomed to lessen risk to bees. Lorianne Bird, director of the Center for Biological Diversity's Environmental Health Program, slams the Trump administration for ignoring science and fueling a, quote, pollinator extinction crisis, unquote. Environmental and beekeeping organizations are now abuzz with decisions over filing future litigation in hopes the courts will once again weigh in to protect bees, butterflies, and other insects that pollinate America's food crops.
This is Miriam Raftery with an important health alert. 4 overdose deaths have occurred in the last 24 hours in Lakeside, Santee, Poway, and Valley Center due to a counterfeit oxycodone drug known as M30. The illicit blue pills contain fentanyl, so potent that a speck the size of a salt grain can kill you, or even just touching it can be fatal. Users may swallow the pills or crush and smoke them. San Diego Sheriff's Narcotics and Gang Division responded to the 4 overdose deaths, and detectives are now working with first responders to find out if they've received any more overdose calls. Anybody with information on this illegal drug operation is asked to call the anonymous Crime Stoppers tip line at 888-580-8477 or the Sheriff's Department at 858-565-5200. Any pill purchased without a prescription or that's not sold in a pharmacy should be considered dangerous, the sheriff says. Now, if you or somebody you know is struggling with a drug or alcohol addiction, you can call the County Crisis Hotline at 888-724-7240. You can take any unused and unwanted medications to any sheriff's prescription drug drop box location in the county. And for more information on that, you can visit sdsheriff.net.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
The East County Leadership Council will host its second annual Regional Issues Forum this Saturday on July 27th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the El Cajon Library. The speakers include El Cajon Councilman Gary Kendrick, La Mesa Councilman Colin Parent, and Helix Water Board member Mark Grasick. Dana Quitner, board member and past president of the East County Economic Development Council, will moderate the forum. The public is invited to attend the forum, where issues to be discussed include: how do we make East County more affordable for people who live here? How do we achieve a balance of housing and jobs in our region? And how do we best protect our environment and enhance our quality of life? Refreshments will be served, and you can RSVP to georgegastil@gmail.com. That's George, G-A-S-T-I-L, @gmail.com. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
The Food and Drug Administration has issued warning for dog owners to beware of foods and medications containing xylitol after reports of numerous dog deaths linked to the sweetener. Xylitol can kill a dog in just 10 to 60 minutes, or symptoms may occur up to 24 hours after ingestion. The FDA urges dog owners to avoid any products containing xylitol and to seek immediate emergency veterinary care if a dog swallows anything containing xylitol. Xylitol is used in sugarless gums, mints, sugar-free desserts such as skinny ice cream, baked goods such as cakes, muffins, or pies that may be labeled as safe for diabetics, as well as some peanut butter and other nut butters. It's also in some toothpastes, chewable vitamins and supplements, mouthwash, cough syrup, and certain over-the-counter medications. While xylitol is considered safe for humans, it is quickly absorbed into the bloodstream of dogs as well as ferrets, triggering a potentially fatal release of insulin from the pancreas. Always check labels to be sure there is no xylitol before giving any human food products to your pets, especially in products advertised as sugar-free or low in sugar. It's spelled XYLITOL. Keep all products with xylitol out of pets' reach, and remember that pets may paw through a purse or backpack to find treats or pull items left too close to the edge of a countertop. If your dog accidentally consumes even a small amount of a product with xylitol, call your veterinarian or poison control center immediately and report any adverse reactions to the FDA. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Crime Beat report. 6 years ago, 22-year-old Zusha Brown Jr. was brutally gunned down in a drive-by shooting on Interstate 8 in La Mesa that also injured another man. When the case grew cold, the Saquon Band of the Kumeyaay Nation offered a $100,000 reward to help find the killer of Zusha Brown, who was a Saquon tribal member. La Mesa police posted billboards alongside the freeway, and Brown's mother, Deborah Flores, vowed at the time, "We will continue to fight until justice is done." 3 weeks after the reward was announced, three men were arrested for the drive-by shootings, and now the victims' families finally have the justice that they sought. This week, two gang members were convicted of murdering Brown and attempting to kill the vehicle's driver, Malcolm Hume, their intended target. La Mesa Police Chief Walt Vasquez and prosecutors have affirmed that Brown was not a gang member and was an unintended, innocent victim. His killers, Dante Haddock and Anthony Frank, were also found by a jury to be guilty of conspiracy to commit murder and special circumstances, including lying in wait, discharging a gun out of a vehicle, and committing multiple murders. Frank was already serving a 20-year prison sentence for killing a rival gang member in El Cajon when he was arrested. A third man, Aliante Eason, pleaded guilty to voluntary manslaughter. According to prosecutors, Haddock was the driver, and Frank opened fire from the passenger side. Haddock's attorney claimed he was staying with a woman the night Brown died, and Brown's lawyer claimed that Eason was the killer. But prosecutors introduced evidence that Frank told witnesses he killed Brown and that text messages implicated Haddock. Police also traced cell phones belonging to Brown and Haddock to the area near the shooting. Both phones were turned off shortly before the murders and then turned back on, Patch.com reports. Zusha Brown, the oldest of nine children, was described by his mother as a very loving, very kind-hearted son who always looked after his siblings. After his death, she revealed, he became an organ donor, saving the lives of four other people.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from our region.
This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine and KNSJ, bringing you some special information as we enter fire season. How prepared are you for an emergency? Just as you change your smoke detector batteries whenever you change your clocks for daylight savings time, it's also a smart idea to check your emergency kit at the start of every fire season. That means now. Of course, emergencies such as an earthquake or a blackout can happen at any time with no advance warning. For households with children, elderly people, or those with limited mobility, being ready to take action is especially important. Updating your emergency list should start with a checklist. Did you add or lose any members of your household? Be sure to have enough supplies for everyone, including people and pets. Check the dates on canned goods and other perishables, and be sure that stored drinking water is still good. Create an emergency plan for your family. Identify two places for the family to meet. One should be somewhere outside your home, but close by, perhaps a neighbor's or a street corner. The other should be a spot away from your neighborhood, just in case the entire area is evacuated and you can't return. Using information from SDG&E and supplementing it with some additional tips, we've come up with the following helpful suggestions to be prepared. Practice an evacuation plan with your family, including children. If they get used to doing something when there is no panic, they will be much less frantic should a real disaster strike. Review emergency plans at your workplace, your child's school or daycare center, friends' homes, and other places where members of your family regularly spend time. Plan safe routes away from your home and business to high, safe ground, and be sure all family members know the routes. Have alternative routes in mind if the first option is blocked. Develop a plan for family, pets, and livestock,
and have a backup plan because some evacuation shelters may not allow animals. Designate a friend or family member outside the area who all family members can call if you become separated, and that way you can know if everyone is safe. Have family members memorize that phone number in case cell phones die and you can't access the phone directory. Keep current important documents in a safe deposit box or send copies outside the area to be kept by a trusted relative or friend. Be sure that you can access your insurance policy and have a copy of your deed, for example. After Hurricane Katrina, when banks were destroyed by flooding and hurricanes, many homeowners had a lot of trouble putting in their insurance claims. Have a set place for your emergency supplies. Your emergency kit should include, at minimum, a 3-day supply of bottled water, 1 gallon per person per day, plus extra for pets or anyone with special needs, a 3-day supply of packaged, dried, and canned food that can be prepared without cooking, a first aid kit, and essential medicines for all family members, a pet carrier for each pet and pet food, a manual can opener, a portable radio, plenty of batteries, and flashlights kept in waterproof bags, an extra set of car keys, credit cards, and always plenty of cash in case the power is out when ATM machines and credit card machines are not working. Special items for infants, elderly, or disabled family members. It's also important to make sure that you always keep plenty of gas in your car since pumps won't work when the power goes out. Also be sure you have a car charger for your cell phones since during a power outage, you don't want your cell phone to go dead. Car chargers are cheap, often less than $10, but can be crucial in an emergency. Know how to operate everything if the electricity is off, the keyless entry to your home, and an electric garage door and gates, for instance. Be sure you know how to open them manually. If you have a gas main, know how to shut it off in case of a leak or a disaster. Include instructions on how to shut off anything that's complicated in your family emergency kit. It's better to have supplies ready and never need them than to need them and not have them. SDG&E has also prepared some videos on fire season planning and general emergency preparedness that can be accessed in the Wildfire and Emergency section of our website at www.eastcountymagazine.org.
You're listening to East County Magazine, the voice of East County. We reflect your interests, the people's interests, not special interests. As a nonprofit, we rely on community support. You can help us provide community news and reflect a rich diversity of voices by donating or becoming a sustaining member at www.eastcountymagazine.org.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.